Imagine this. You're a young software engineer, fresh out of college, excited to start your dream job at one of the world's most innovative companies. You arrive at the sprawling corporate campus, eager to make your mark, but instead of diving into groundbreaking projects, you find yourself swept up in a wave of activism, protests, and sit-ins, all while on the clock. This is the scene that played out recently at Google, where a group of employees decided to use their workday to protest the company's cloud computing contract with the Israeli government. Now, 28 of those workers find themselves out of a job, fired. It's a story that's becoming all too familiar in corporate America. Employees, often fresh from the anything-goes environment of college campuses, bringing their political activism into the workplace, staging protests, making demands, pressuring their bosses to take stands on charge issues far beyond the scope of their business. But now it seems companies are starting to push back. Google's mass firing is perhaps the most dramatic example, but it's far from the only one. From NPR to the New York Times to Starbucks, we're seeing a shift in how corporate leaders handle employee dissent. So, what's going on here? Are businesses suddenly becoming less tolerant, less open to the convictions of their workers? Or are we seeing a necessary correction, a rebalancing of the scales after years of activism run amok? These are the questions we'll be grappling with today on The Sandstorm. I'm your host, Eric Cochran, and I've got some thoughts, but first, let's set the stage. For years now, we've seen a trend of corporate leaders bending over backwards to appease their activist employees. Recall how, back in 2018, Google caved to worker pressure and declined to renew a Pentagon contract after it became controversial internally. Or think of all the CEOs who raced to express solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement in 2020, often while saying little about the riots that accompanied some of those protests. There's been this sense that businesses need to be responsive to the social and political concerns of their workers, even when those concerns have little to do with the company's actual operations, that to not engage, to not take a stand, is to risk being branded as callous or out of touch. But as the saying goes, give an inch and they'll take a mile. What started as requests for corporate social responsibility have morphed into demands for firms to take partisan political positions, to use their platforms to advance activist agendas. And let's be clear, this is a one-way street. The protesting Google workers weren't demanding the company cut ties with Palestinian groups they disagree with. The NPR editor wasn't suspended for pro-Israel bias in his news coverage. No, it's only ever one side of these debates that seems to warrant such vocal employee activism. But here's the thing. Businesses are not public forums. They're not college debating societies. They exist to serve their customers, to generate profits for their shareholders, not to provide a platform for their workers' political hobby horses. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for open and honest discussion in the workplace. Diversity of thought is valuable, but there's a difference between respectful disagreement and disruptive activism, between voicing your opinion and staging a sit-in that makes your colleagues feel unsafe or unable to do their jobs. And that's where I think we're seeing this shift, this growing backbone from corporate leaders. After years of trying to accommodate the demands of their most vocal employees, often twisting themselves into knots to avoid giving offense, they're starting to rediscover a simple truth, that their first duty is to the health and productivity of their organizations, not to the political whims of a vocal few. But Google is far from alone in this. At NPR, a senior editor was suspended and subsequently resigned after publishing a critique of the network's news coverage. The New York Times investigated staff for potentially leaking confidential materials amidst divisions over its reporting on the recent Gaza conflict. And Starbucks found itself in a legal tussle with union affiliates over pro-Palestinian tweets. It's a trend that's leaving many wondering, what exactly are the rules here? What rights do employees really have to speak their minds on the job? The answer, perhaps unsurprisingly, is it's complicated. You see, contrary to popular belief, freedom of speech as enshrined in the First Amendment only protects you from government censorship. It doesn't give you the right to say whatever you want at work without consequence. In most states, employment is at will, meaning your boss can fire you for almost any reason or no reason at all as long as it's not discriminatory. They don't have to tolerate behavior that disrupts the workplace or alienates coworkers, even if that behavior takes the form of political activism. Now, there are some exceptions. The National Labor Relations Act protects employees' right to engage in concerted activity to improve their working conditions, which can include certain forms of protests. And of course, workers can't be fired for their race, religion, or other protected characteristics. But staging a midday sit-in to demand your company cut ties with Israel? Commandeering meeting rooms to plan protests on the clock? Yeah, that's probably not going to fly, legally speaking. So if the law is largely on the company's side here, why are we seeing this flare up now? What's changed? In part, it seems to be a reaction to the excesses of the last few years. The peak woke capitalism era, if you will, when every brand was tripping over itself to prove its progressive bona fides. But it's also a recognition that in today's hyper-politicized environment, trying to appease activist employees is a losing game. Just look at what happened to Disney, which found itself in a bruising fight with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis after being pressured to denounce the state's parental rights in education bill. Or consider Bud Light's ill-fated partnership with a transgender influencer, which sparked a boycott and sent sales plummeting. The lesson many companies seem to be taking is that weighing in on divisive political issues is a good way to get burned, no matter which side you take. That in trying to please everyone, you often end up pleasing no one. But here's the thing. Even if businesses can legally fight their activist employees, should they? Is it really in their interest to be seen as hostile to dissent, to open discussion of important issues? It's a tricky balancing act, to be sure. On one hand, companies want to foster cultures of engagement and inclusivity where employees feel heard and valued. Stifling all dissent risks breeding resentment and stagnation. But they also have a duty to maintain a productive work environment, one where people can do their jobs without constant disruption or fear of harassment. And at a certain point, accommodating activism becomes unmanageable. Are firms really supposed to take a stance on every geopolitical conflict, every partisan squabble? There's also the issue of fairness to consider. For every vocal group of activist employees, there are often others who disagree, who may feel alienated or intimidated by their colleagues' behavior. We saw this with the Jewish attorney whose union passed a resolution condemning Israel, a move she saw as a direct affront to her identity. Companies should strive to create cultures of open and respectful dialogue, yes, but they also have the right and indeed the responsibility to set boundaries around what kind of behavior is acceptable on the job. Not every personal conviction needs to be aired in the workplace. Not every political cause needs to become a corporate crusade. Sometimes the best thing firms can do is to stay focused on their core mission, serving their customers, supporting their workers, generating value for their shareholders. It may not be the fashionable view in some quarters, but in an age of rampant polarization and perpetual outrage, maybe a little more minding your business is just good business. As we've been discussing today, the recent wave of companies cracking down on employee activism marks a significant shift in corporate America. For years, we've seen businesses bend over backwards to accommodate the political demands of their workers, often at the expense of their core operations. But now it seems the pendulum is starting to swing back the other way. And I have to say, it's about time. Now, I know that might sound harsh to some of you. After all, aren't we supposed to celebrate activism, to applaud people for standing up for their beliefs? And look, on a personal level, I get it. It's admirable to have convictions, to want to make a difference in the world. But here's the thing. Your job is not your personal soapbox. Your workplace is not your personal fiefdom to enact whatever political vision you see fit. When you're on the clock, your primary duty is to do the job you were hired for, not to stage protests or hector your colleagues about the cause du jour. If you want to advocate for political change, by all means, do so on your own time with your own resources. Because here's the harsh reality. Most of your coworkers, they don't want to be subjected to constant political agitation in the office. They don't want to feel pressured to take sides on every controversial issue or worry that they'll be branded as bigots if they don't join in the latest hashtag campaign. They just want to come to work, do their jobs, collect their paychecks, and go home to their families. And they have every right to do so without being made to feel like they're on the wrong side of history for not wanting to turn every team meeting into a teach-in on Middle East politics. But beyond the impact on individual workers, this kind of unbridled activism is deeply corrosive to businesses themselves. It saps productivity, as employees spend more time planning protests than doing their actual jobs. It fosters division and resentment, as workers feel pressured to conform to the political orthodoxies of the most vocal activists, and it undermines the very purpose of these companies, which, let's remember, is not to serve as vehicles for social change, but to provide goods and services to their customers and generate returns for their shareholders. Now, I'm not saying businesses should be completely apolitical. Corporate social responsibility is important, and there are times when companies need to take principled stands. But those stands should be carefully considered, firmly grounded in the company's values and strategic interests, not haphazardly adopted based on whoever is shouting the loudest on any given day. There's also a real question of fairness and consistency here. Activists often demand that companies take their side on controversial issues, but cry foul when those same companies give voice to perspectives they disagree with. They want corporations to use their platforms to amplify certain views, but not others. It's a blatant double standard. And it points to a deeper problem with this whole idea of employee activism. It assumes that workers should have a say in every aspect of a company's operations, regardless of their role or expertise. But the reality is, most employees aren't hired for their political acumen. They're hired to do specific jobs, whether that's coding software or preparing coffee, and while their input on workplace issues should absolutely be valued, that doesn't give them veto power over business decisions far above their pay grade. As we navigate this complex new landscape, I think it's important to remember a few key principles. Companies should foster cultures of open and honest dialogue, yes. They should strive to make their workplaces inclusive and welcoming to all. But they also have the right to set boundaries, to insist that work time is for work, and that personal political activism should largely be kept on personal time. This isn't about stifling dissent or enforcing some kind of top-down ideological conformity. It's about recognizing that businesses have a specific purpose in society, and that constantly pulling them into partisan political battles ultimately undermines that purpose. And it's about respecting the diversity of political opinions among employees, and not assuming that the loudest activists speak for everyone. And it's about understanding that while we should all strive to make positive change in the world, we can't demand that every institution in society serve as a vehicle for our personal political agendas. Sometimes the most valuable contribution a company can make is simply to do what it does best, to create value, to serve its customers, and to provide meaningful opportunities for its workers. Everything else is just a distraction. That's all for today's episode of The Sandstorm. What do you think about this new era of corporate pushback against employee activism? As always, if you enjoyed this discussion, please be sure to leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us grow the show. And if you want to go even deeper on these issues, be sure to check out the Sandstorm Daily website at sandstormdaily.com. We've got articles, essays, and exclusive interviews you won't find anywhere else. You can also follow me on social media at RealRxCochran for even more commentary and analysis throughout the week. Until next time, I'm Eric Cochran. Thanks for weathering the storm with me.